Hey, listener. This is She Achieved Podcast with me, Albin Bennett. This podcast is about conversations with extraordinary women in Northeast Mississippi and beyond who had the courage to follow their inner calling. Despite the challenges they encountered, whether in business or community, they consistently and relentlessly pursued greatness. Success can take on many forms and looks differently depending on who you ask. But achieving success is something all of us can do. She Achieved is about inspiring you to chase your dreams and aspirations, just like the ladies I've been interviewing. These amazing women are sharing their stories so you can be empowered to achieve your greatness and become who you were created to be. I am so excited to be able to create a bigger impact for you and others, and I hope these stories of She Achieved will be as impactful to you as they are to me. Hey, everybody. Before we jump into today's podcast, I want to ask you sincerely to leave me a 5-star review. I am working extremely hard to deliver this podcast every 2 weeks. I want to have great guests and really serve you, and it's free. The only thing I ask is that if you're able to leave me a 5-star review on iTunes, I would be incredibly grateful. Thanks so much. Welcome to She Achieved Podcast, Leticia. I am so excited to have you here with me today and have the opportunity to share your story. You are a very well-known lady in the community, and I think you are very, very engaged, and you have been for a really long time. But your business has skyrocketed, which I think has really helped you put you on the map, but it didn't get there overnight. And so before we jump into talking about your business and all the things that you're involved in, and I know you're a motivational speaker and a consultant, let's rewind it back and start at the beginning. Tell our listeners who may not be as familiar with you and your story a little bit about yourself.
Thank you for having me today, Abin, on She Achieved Podcast. It is such an honor. And so, I've been, before I got into insurance, you know, I've always wanted to be in business. I always wanted to dream to have my own company. Just didn't know what that looked like for me. And so I fell into insurance, I would say, by accident. I was in school. I wanted to be a pharmaceutical sales rep too. And so I found that you had to have sales experience, right? I say, well, I don't have any sales experience. And I had a couple of friends who were doing insurance. And I said, I just do that. Just so I had sales experience. But I fell into the insurance industry and I loved it. And it became a career for me. And later on in life, I found out that I could actually make this a true career where I could have my own business. So that's kind of how I got started in the insurance industry.
So you mentioned that you have always wanted to have a business. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the younger Leticia, like what you were like in high school, what you decided to pursue when you left. You know, we all have those stories, right? We all can't wait to be done with high school,
right,
to pursue whatever it is that we're so passionate about. Talk to us a little bit about that.
So this is real crazy. So it's this old movie, it's an Eddie Murphy movie, and it was called Boomerang. Oh my gosh, it's Boomerang movie. And there was a lot of just Black entrepreneurs who was in sales and marketing. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And it's big building and, you know, have their own executive offices. And a lot of times you didn't see that, right? Mm-hmm. And that inspired me and said, I want to do that. I know I could be in sales. I could be in marketing. I know I'm very creative. I can do advertisement. I can do commercials, you know, things of that nature. And that movie, which is a classic, actually inspired me to want to pursue sales.
How old were you?
You know what? I'm not sure how old the movie is, but maybe, I don't know, 7th, 8th grade, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah. 7th, 8th grade. So just from a movie, just seeing that, and I say, Mama, I want to do something like that. But I still did not know what that looked like for me. Just was inspired about a movie. Yeah. And to be honest, it wasn't a kid-friendly movie. It wasn't kid-friendly, but I still watched it and I was inspired by it. And that's what pushed me and drove me. And also, too, I was in band. And band, you know, you have to have all these fundraisings to get to a trip or get to a competition. And so behind that, they had the person who sold the most, you know, they got rewarded. So I was always had that drive to try to be number one. And I feel like that helped contribute, you know, just to me having that drive in life in general. So
What instrument did you play?
The clarinet.
Oh my goodness, we have something in common. I played the clarinet in a band.
First chair. You could not get me not to be first chair. I always had that competitive drive.
So you were always competitive, always willing to go the extra mile, mm-hmm. and you were always achieving. Right. Like you were always pushing yourself. You had mentioned you went to school for pharmacy sales. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about that and the transition of, you know, you already mentioned marketing and sales, so that kind of makes sense. But what did you not like about it that you knew was not a fit for you?
So the thing is, I never really got into it. So I was going to school for marketing and sales, and it was going to be an emphasis in pharmaceuticals.
Okay.
So that's what happened. And we had this company, Merck, come out and talk about this great opportunity, and they give you a nice car to drive. And I was like, yes, that sounds like something I would want to do. Plus it was still sales. But I never just really got into it. I just thought sales, dealing with doctors and a nice car. I was young. I was young.
It's so true. It's what all of us see, right?
Yes.
How do I get what I want? And that's what all the people that we look, you know, in our community to, that's what we look at.
Exactly.
When we're young,
exactly.
Right?
So that's what it was. But just I never actually stepped into that role ever.
So how long, when you transitioned to work for your friends in the insurance mm-hmm. business, how long did you do that before you said, I think I can do this on my own?
Wow. So I've been in insurance for 19 years and our agency is only 6 years old. So 13 years of me working with friends and colleagues until I said, you know what? I think I can do this. My husband supported me through this process. It wasn't easy, scary, not sure, because you're always used to having someone right there beside you. And then when you start on your own, it's a little different. And truth to be told, it becomes different because sometimes now you may come up as a competitor. So you don't get the same help as you did when you were working together. So
it's a little lonely when you're at the top. You know, we hear that a lot. It really is. And it transpires in that because you're seen as competition instantly once you step away from anyone's umbrella.
That's true. So it is lonely at the top. And some of that comes with just growth. Like at some point in your life, they may be there, but once you're growing and you want them to come along with you, they cannot because you're constantly growing and they don't want to grow with you. But I look at it, it's a milestone in your life. It could be for a seasonal and for a reason, you know, so it is lonely at the top. It is when you want to bring everyone with you. And unfortunately, most of them won't ever get there because they choose not to. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just accomplish more with collaboration than competition.
That's
true. It is a competition, but if you're competing against yourself and you have your own goals, I do believe we're stronger. No matter what industry you're in, you're stronger together, but not everyone has that mentality.
That's true.
So when you transitioned of being 13 years in the industry, mm-hmm. and was there a pivotal moment that when you realized I'm going to do my own thing, or was there anything that transpired or happened that pushed you over that? I feel like we always have that moment where we're like, that's it, I'm doing it.
Right. So when you're working with companies and companies, they want you to do things a certain way. And with my value and my integrity, I don't line up with what you want me to do, right? I'm going to do what's best for me, my family, and for my potential clients who trust me with the services and products that I'm offering to them. So at that point, I was like, I got to do things my way. And that's what was my pivoting point.
You mentioned that your husband supported you through mm-hmm. the transition. And I see him here at the office. And
yes.
It's so sweet that this is a such a supportive environment. Talk to us a little bit about the challenges. You mentioned that it was a challenging time. Let's unpack that a little bit, because a lot of people, it's easy to share the successes.
That's
but
true.
When we relive the moments and the steps that actually got us to where we are, mm-hmm. to where we can say we're resilient or we've achieved or we've succeeded, you know, there's always a mountain to climb. But what are some pivotal times that really stick out in your mind that you'd be willing to share?
So I would say when we first started out wanting to start the agency, of course, all the income when you're an entrepreneur, you got to make that money every day to make sure that the bills are paid, your overhead is paid. If you got somebody working with you, all that has to be paid. And so my husband at the time was still working, you know, as a supervisor at the factory 15 years. And so it was time that I might not have never, I didn't meet my needs. And financially, that's a strain. That could be a strain on partnership, on marriage, or business, and everything. And so just having to get past that hurdle of trusting the process, understanding where we are financially, understanding that if this doesn't work, I may have to go back and get a 9-to-5 until it start working, you know, just having those hard, tough conversations. It's been tough. I mean, I share this story a lot of times on different podcasts where at one point in my life, right before we started the agency, I was at home with my child pregnant. We had planned, I'm going to work so many months, save money, so it would be okay. But the doctor said, no, ma'am, you cannot go out and do what you want to do. You know, your pregnancy, you got to just stay stable, sit here. That was hard. That was tough. Because at that time, one income was coming in, rent was due, your car notes due, you got to have food on your table. And it was very hard. And he was working 16, 17 hour days sometimes, you know. So falling on hard times where you couldn't even afford, you know, get our kids Christmas that year, it was really tough. And it's like those conversations of, are you sure it's going to work? Or should you go back and get a job, you know? So that was tough. But he allowed me to continue. Give me a time frame. Let me just trust me. And after that time frame passed, you know, all the seed that was sold, we started reaping the reward from the seeds that was sold. So,
well, you make a lot of sacrifices, especially early on. Of course, it's so, especially when you've succeeded. Mm-hmm. On the back, in retrospect, it's so easy to say yes. You know, it's a humbling experience when you're like in the trenches trying to stand up something that you so believe in and love and know is the right path for you, but it's difficult because you don't know what's on the other side.
That's right.
In retrospect, it's like, yes, we're in this new, beautiful office. Mm-hmm. We've grown, we've expanded, and your team, watching you grow from afar is amazing because your team has grown tremendously. I mean, we're in this beautiful space that we're in today. This is your new office. Mm-hmm. I feel like you've done all the right things. So what is the most humbling or most like moment for you? Like to look back and remember your beginnings and being here today. Like it's such a journey.
It's gonna make me cry. Cause it is a journey, because as a young girl growing up, you know, my family didn't have much, right? And so coming from a family where you don't see this type of lifestyle, you're seeing going from day to day, you know, making money to make ends meet, and to be able to change the trajectory in my family, you know, being able to lift them up and inspire them. And not only that, being able to even, my one thing is being able to help my mom out, okay? My mom was working 9-to-5, and so she was just tired of that job at a factory. And she said, Letitia, can you just help me? And I was like, Mom, I can't afford to pay you. And I couldn't, you know. I said, but let me help you maybe get a license. Let me show you what I know. And so she did exactly that at her late age, got her license, started selling insurance. And it came to a point where she could quit her job and now be independent for herself. And now she's doing very well. So, and then now my sister, and I got other relatives that's doing the same thing. So being able to see an impact in their lives of something that I continue to pursue and not give up just warms my heart. It warms my heart.
I love that. Thank you for sharing. So many of us forget how we impact others, especially our family members, mm-hmm. right? And so that is chilling. And a lot of times also thinking about the people you employ too outside mm-hmm. of your family. But family is just so special because you're right. A lot of interviewees that I have an opportunity to talk to, they didn't start out with anything, right? Like they've built up because they knew it would be life-changing. And you are doing just that. And I love it. I love it. What are some things that you're doing outside of the insurance business? I see you on social media, speaking engagements, motivating, teaching others how to do this. Mm-hmm. You're a really inspiring individual and really a name in the financial industry mm-hmm. Across the board. Talk to us a little bit about that. I don't even think I can keep up with you.
So a lot of that just comes from me within how I feel. like we said, you're stronger together. And so if I can just pour out, just inspire you, no matter where you are in life, no matter what type of industry you're in, what mindset you have, if I can just inspire you and motivate you and show you that don't give up, because I was in that position, in that place as well. So when I am out speaking on stages, yeah, it may be an insurance conference, but I'm not talking about insurance. I'm talking about changing your life. I'm talking about don't give up. I'm talking about, you know, changing your circle, changing your mindset, what it takes to get to the next level. That's what I'm talking about. And also too, like in the communities, you know, I'm a big giver. And so I want to be able to give back to the community, because without them, I wouldn't be here. You know, just starting out where I was in the community more because I had more time, but just being able to see how we work together and the need that is here and being able to impact our community and see smiles on their faces, because we don't know, you can maybe bless them and don't know how much you truly bless in each individual. So, and that's just me. I like to give back and help people as much as I can.
How many employees do you now have?
Great question. So right now in the office, we have 7 in the office. And then we also have independent agents where they're brokers with Jackson Insurance Group. We have about 18 brokers.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm excited because 2 of them have actually launched their own agency right here in Tupelo. So I'm excited about that as well. Yes.
That's awesome. I love that. How has networking and building relationships impacted your career?
Since we're all stronger together, you have to come together to see how you can help each individual. Oftentimes people get networking mixed up when they go out there trying to see how can I gain, when really you should find out how can you help them. And once you help them, they'll be willing to help you. And so you never know who you may need when you may need them the most, right? Mm-hmm. And how much you can truly assist them in growing. So if you're assisting them in getting their need, it can help you grow as well. So with me networking, also like getting CDL, right? Going out to businesses, business after hours, getting to know people and getting to know what their needs are and how you make it even assist them, even just with it may have a question, you answer it for them, things of that nature. And so when they think about something, Leticia's the person to go to. She helped me when she didn't have to help me. So it's very, very important networking and having a circle of people that can trust you and you can trust them.
I agree with that. You know, networking has a lot of a little bit negative connotation when we say it. To me, it's being a resource.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's not having the selfish motives. While yes, it's important to be always presentable and visible, but what a lot of people don't realize is that if you come with the mindset of being a resource for somebody,
right,
and the connector, your name will pop up when they have that need,
mm-hmm,
or you are ingrained in their mind as the resource to connect to whatever it is that they're trying to find. And that sometimes, a lot of times, has a lot more value than the other, because it is a small world.
It is.
Everyone is so intertwined. And don't burn bridges, because relationships come back around. And
right,
you never know where you'll be, what you'll be doing, what you will need, whose help you need. It's just interesting how that works. So I'm glad you touched on all of
yes,
that. That's awesome. What about mentors? Have you had mentors, and how have they played in your success?
Mentorship is very important. Actually, me having a mentor early on in my business, it played a valuable role for me, because I'm an introvert. I'm not sure if you picked up on it. I'm a true introvert. And so not having just the, not having just the courage to go out and tell people who I am and to go out and to just be around individuals. So that mentor taught me, you know, in order to grow or in order to be known, you have to go out, you have to support. And also too, showing you how business structure should be ran. When you're facing certain obstacles, you know, how should you address those situations? So mentorship is very important. It helps you get to that next level. And I always say everyone should always have a mentor, no matter where you are in your life or your career, you always should have a mentor to look up to and help you get to that next level that you want to go to.
I agree. And you can have numerous mentors.
You can.
At different stages of
mm-hmm,
your life too. You know, I think about my career and individuals that impacted me and put, you know, stock into me. They give you that courage,
right,
to do something that is so out of your comfort zone that, and they see something that you don't see in yourself. So everyone listening to this, mm-hmm. if you have somebody telling you to try and do it,
you should
just do it.
You should just do it.
Yeah. Because we, a lot of times our, you know, biggest, roadblock, because we allow our brain, we need to get out of our brain. I say that all the time, get out of our head. We need to allow ourselves to piggyback on someone else's confidence in you.
Right. Exactly. Right. So that's like when you say that we are our own roadblock, because I guess I'm not sure if, for me, fear of failing, fear if I'm going to fail, or well, then what if I do succeed, then what, you know, what's my next step? So when you don't know what that looks like, you just put yourself in this box, but you know you're bad. You know what you bring, Abin, but you just, what they reject me and I make a fool of myself. And then what? Or then what if I do great? What now, right? So it's all of that. But yeah, biggest roadblock is yourself. So get over yourself and do what you know you can do. And you'll be amazed at, you know, how you overcome and achieve, you know.
And trust the process a little bit.
Yes.
There's a reason why you have that inner calling, right? Mm-hmm. That inner fire is what I call it too. And you mentioned that early on, like, I've always wanted a business owner. I just didn't know what that looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we can't put those steps in front of us, even though we're eager and we want to. Mentors help you do that. Mm-hmm. Life experiences help you do that.
Definitely.
You spent 13 years in the industry before opening up your business. It allows you to grow and mature, especially as women. I feel like for us, we're always putting ourselves on the back burner too. We have a lot of responsibilities, a lot of pressures. And you being an African-American woman, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Because if I had to guess, it has been challenging just by being a female,
mm-hmm.
but then we all know the statistics of being an African-American female at
right.
that. Knowing that and knowing that you're successful and you're on the other side, talk to us a little bit about those experiences, good and bad.
Okay. So for me, honestly, I haven't really had a lot of bad experiences with it. I think it's my thought process about the experience, okay? Oh, I'm a woman. I'm a black woman. Oh my gosh, right? Because yes. in the insurance industry, you don't see a lot of women, you know, that has their own. You see mostly men, but in history, you saw mostly men. And it's still that today. And so coming into an era where it's mostly men and mostly Caucasian men at that is like, oh my God, I don't fit in. I don't know what they're talking about, but that was just my own barrier because I was afraid of what that may look like for me. And also too, being an African-American woman, I feel like you got so many women looking at you and it's like, I don't want to fail my culture. I don't want to fail women. I don't want to fail my culture. I don't want to make a mistake and be like, I told you she wasn't going to make it, or I told you. It's like all those things that I think about for me, but it's more of, honestly, I've been more embraced than I have expected to be embraced. I've been told to keep going. Because people are saying, you are African-American lady, you're doing it, and I'm proud of you. Keep going, because you are setting a standard that no one is used to seeing. But that's scary, because it's like, I don't want to mess it up. And if I do fail, then what, you know? So I have been my own stumbling block when you mentioned the challenges.
Well, you're a trailblazer, you know, and when we're going through the motions, that's difficult to see.
Mm-hmm.
Again, looking back, retrospect, oh yes, you know, it's so much easier said than done. And when you're forging the way and you are setting the example and the bar, it's on both sides, right?
Right.
It's within the industry of almost proving yourself as a woman,
right?
African-American woman mm-hmm. at that. But then on the other side, you know, all of the people, your community and those around you too. So it's like twofold.
Yeah,
you know?
It is
a big responsibility, but at the same time, you know, one thing we don't talk about enough is like, even if you were a failure
mm-hmm.
or you didn't succeed in something, like, you had the courage to try.
Yes.
We don't give people credit where it's due from that aspect, because You make it look so easy. But I know it's not easy.
Exactly.
You smile and you sit here and you share your story. But I know there are hardships when you're worried about financial or mm-hmm. getting those clients and making sure your people, you're able to make payroll, right? Because
right.
when you become a business owner, you got to make sure you're taking care of others before you can even, you know, a lot of times we don't want to pay ourselves first,
and,
right?
And it's that part. I didn't pay myself for a while, just making sure everyone else is taken care of. When you guys are in here working with you, like, you're taking on a whole family. Mm-hmm. So that's your responsibility, and that's tough. It is tough. It is.
So talk to me a little bit about how you balance personal and professional. Your lines get blurred a good bit, mm-hmm. and you've talked about it already. You like to give back and be involved, and then you're traveling and doing all these things. How do you keep grounded? Like, how do you do it all and keep yourself grounded?
I will say it is tough. Anyone say you can stay, you can be balanced. Just show me the way. Please show me. It could be tough, but one thing is that, you know, we have a ministry also. And so ministry is number one. It's priority. It's, we have to prioritize that. So it's like ministry, my family, then the business. And I have to keep that in order. And sometimes if I'm seeing that one is outweighing the other, I have to come back and re-strategize and plan. So we have to plan for days, events, family time, date nights. Everything is planning. As crazy as it sounds, that I have to plan everything out. And say, you're a busy lady. I am, but it's not, I don't want to just drop what I'm doing and come see you. It's just that I have so much on my plate right now. And I'm hoping that one day, you know how you're trying to get to a certain point, and one day say, now we're here, I can kind of just take my hands off of it. But truth be told, Abby, and you're trailblazing yourself. Once you put your hand on the plow, you're like, you can't let it go. Great, I succeeded here. But now you got something else new that you're going to take on, right?
It's true. It's never ending. There's always a new mountain.
Right. It's never ending, but it's important to just plan for yourself and also take out time for yourself as well, just for your own personal space. So that's my answer for me.
What is your personal space? What do you do for yourself to refill your cup?
You know what? It could be, okay, so my work week. So Monday through Friday. Here at the office on Monday, I start saying Monday is my me time. I'm at work, but it's me time, admin time, whatever thing I have to get done. That's what I have to get done. So I'm still here, but I'm not taking on clients nor meetings today. So that's a me time for me. I'm just going to get my pedicure, manicure, you know, reading a book during my quiet time, praying, whatever I like to do. There's no set things. Whatever I like to do, I'm going to find that time in that time I took out for myself. And that has helped me so much than being stressed out, right? Because we got mommy time, wife duties, you got church duties, work duties, employees, all of that. But I know Mondays, we can. She's here, but she's not here.
So what I hear you say is intentionality.
Yes.
Organizing your time,
mm-hmm.
blocking off time,
yes.
for those things that are important to you, and scheduling out. I love a calendar too.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way to do it. If it's not on my calendar, and I have three or four versions of them, different
oh,
ones,
man.
You know, you've got work, you've got personal, you got pickleball, you
that's
got community
it.
Work. Like,
if it's not there, I will forget. Like, I did what? Like,
that's right.
Oh my, yeah. So it has to be on the calendar. I will forget.
That's right. Exactly. What advice would you give to other women who are looking to start their own business?
I would say, first off, believe in yourself. Know that whatever God is giving you to do, trust that process. Know there will be some bumps in the road. You will have obstacles, but don't stop. Learn from those obstacles and continue to go from there. And just believe in yourself, you know. Also, have a circle of people that will continue to push you, you know, a circle of people that will support what you're doing. That's what I would give someone advice on, starting your own business. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy at all, but it will be worth the outcome.
Let's expand a little bit on that.
Okay.
What about those ladies who are maybe already kind of there, but are just scared to jump? For whatever reason, maybe they don't have a supportive group.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't know where to start. Their finances don't align.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you would say to them?
So I'm a praying lady. I would say pray and ask God to guide you. That's going to be my answer. But there are resources out there. You just may have to go search and seek. So if you don't have a supporter group in your home or surrounding area, there are Facebook groups that are doing exactly what you want to do. You can go find the tribe. There may be programs that you may need to help finance, you know, your businesses. So it's going to take a lot of researching, going out to the community, going out to what's available to you to go find out how you can get to that next level, what you want to do. And I always say, faith without works is dead. So if you're believing you can do it, but not trying to put forth an action to do it, it's not going to work out.
Oh, I love that last piece, faith without action. And action in general, you know, analysis paralysis stops a lot of people from doing. And sometimes the best thing is to just take a step forward.
That's it.
Make that call, make that connection, find that group.
Yes.
Just do it, and then you'll learn along in the process. I have learned more from step one to two and everything in between than sitting there thinking about it, right?
That part. You're thinking about it, but you're not getting anything done. So I like how you said, make that phone call. Just ask somebody and you'll be surprised what the next person will. Asking somebody will take you to the next person. They'll take you to the next group. And all of a sudden you found what you're looking for, but you have to ask.
How do you measure success?
That's a great question. Oftentimes people measure success by their income and what's in their bank account. But for me, is when you're setting your goals and you have succeeded your goals of goal one, two, three, four, whatever how many goals you set. Once you have succeeded your goals and you can see the outcome of what you wanted it to be or your mission and vision and what you want to be, that's how I measure my success.
How do you stay motivated and resilient when you're faced with a setback?
Staying motivated is also understanding your purpose. Understanding your purpose, you know what you are supposed to be doing. You know exactly what the design is. And just knowing that no matter what, you may have a setback and an obstacle, but if you know what that purpose is, nothing's going to stop you. You're going to continue to drive yourself to get to aim to see the results of what you're wanting to do. So knowing your purpose is what's going to continue to make you drive.
I love that. What are your future goals and aspirations, and what are you doing now to achieve them?
So one of my goals, aspiration is just continue to impact others to where they feel like they know their value. And impacting others, it doesn't mean just financially, just whatever I can, whether I'm employing someone, if I'm mentoring someone, if I'm giving back, just being to impact their lives in a way to where they can continue to have hope, to continue to want to look towards their future, you know, or whatever that they're trying to get over or accomplish.
If you could tell your younger self one thing, what would you tell yourself?
Don't stop. Don't let others dictate your outcome. Don't let your surroundings dictate your outcome. Don't let your obstacles dictate the outcome. Don't stop. Keep going. You got this.
I love that so very much.
I just want to say that we are just fearfully and wonderfully made. And that although we may look different, we may act different background, different culture. It doesn't matter. It does not matter at all. Just be the best version of yourself you can be, no matter what that may look like to others. But be true to yourself. Do not give in and fold in to what the world wants you to be. But do what God has set for you to have you do and be that person.
That is beautiful, Letitia.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you so much for giving me some of your time today. This has been so fun and insightful. I really enjoyed you. Thank you for everything that you do. And thank you for giving back to our community like you do. So congratulations to
you.
I can't wait to see what the future holds. You're just going to keep growing, keep doing bigger things and inspiring others that come into your path. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much.